dead in sins and trespasses. They are not really serious about their faith. They're going through the motions. And I don't care what anyone wants to say, that from the beginning, God has never honored going through the motions. God does not, you know, God does not approve. He is not fooled. People always want to find, you know, it's the appeal of legalism. Any time that you start trying to set up criteria for man to fulfill, whether it be, you know, these are the steps to salvation sort of mentality, you are opening the door to the dangers of legalism, whereby they think that if they do A, B, C, that they have obtained. And sometimes, you know, as the scriptures say, the heart is deceitful above all things. The status of the heart doesn't even need to really come into it. We may sincerely want something, but it doesn't mean that God is giving it. Just because we went through the motions, even if sincerely, does not necessarily guarantee we're going to get a response from heaven. Right there, right then. We do patiently seek for it. It's not difficult to conceive of how one might create dead faith. You simply go through the motions and then continue to tell yourself that the motions were effectual. You continue to tell yourself, I believe in the motions, and therefore the motions were effective, legalistically. And that's what that becomes. Say, well, did you do this? Yes, sir. Did you do that? Yes, sir. Did you believe this? Hear this paragraph, read it, tell me you believed it. Okay, well then you absolutely are alive and you have everything that you ever needed, and therefore be at rest, be at peace. But God has lit no fire. You're just taking someone's word for it. You're not really alive. You're just going through the motions. You know, I think about the number of times I sought the Holy Spirit but did not receive it. But the scriptures say, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find. But for me, that meant 10 years of seeking, and really more than that. And I think a lot of people, they get into church and then they start out and they think, and they're told, you are alive, you have eternal life in Christ because you placed your faith in Him. We have it all right here in the church bylaws, that this is what it takes to get to heaven. This is what it takes to obtain the resurrection of the dead, as I would say. Because that is the true thing is that we want to live and not die. Thou art dead. You have a name that you live. We want to be alive in the resurrection. Life and death are what is at stake. People always think of it in terms of I'm going to heaven and going here and going there, I guess because of the idea that man is innately immortal. But immortality is the gift of God through Christ. And therefore we obtain it through Him, and if you do not obtain it, it is death. But, you know, in every form of religion, there is nuggets of truth. You know, they tell them, put your faith in Christ, right? And you will be saved. And that's true. Put your faith in Christ and you will be saved. But keep having faith in Him. Have enough faith in Him to follow more than just what you think are the minimum steps required to be saved. Go beyond just being some lackluster, lazy person and actually try to obtain things that are worth obtaining in Christ, the things that are given to you to obtain. You know, these things are ready to die. There are still riches of truth there, but they're fading. Because when you don't move on in the faith of Christ, your faith is weak and vulnerable. From him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he seemeth to have. That's from Luke.
The parable of the sower. The seeds were sown on the wayside in the thorns and among stones, and the seed that was begun to sprung died, or was carried off by birds or whatever, but it was destroyed. Even that which they had received initially, because the ground received all the seed, it seemed like we were going to get some plants, but that which was sown did not persist. And that is the same thing you see here in the church, is they have received the name church. We are Christians. We are a church. Yes. We very much want to associate ourselves with the name of Christ. But we see their candlesticks being taken away out of their place. Just as the seed is taken away from the unworthy ground. From the ground that cannot bring forth fruit. It's the wrong kind of ground. It's funny how many people miss the way you see predestination in that parable. You know, there are types of soil that are appropriate for seed, and there are types of soil that are inappropriate for seed. It also makes me think of the talents. When the one servant who received the one talent, and you see there's a minimalist thing there, he kind of decided he was going, I'm going to have faith in Jesus, but I want to do as little as possible, so I'm just going to bury this. And his talent was taken away. It was given to the one who had 10. That is a theme you see repeated in the teachings of Jesus. People like to feel comfortable doing the least amount possible. There was a young man who approached Christ, and he said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, well, you know the commandments. And he said, I have done these since I was a youth. And he says, well, one more thing you lack. Sell everything you have and come follow me. And he went away very sad because he had many possessions and he didn't want to give them up. I think many Christians approach Christ today with that same attitude, except it's, what is the least that I might do that I might be saved? And then some minister or reverend or pastor steps in and says, oh, let me tell you all about it. Yeah, let me give you this tract that'll fill you in. And then repeat after me this sinner's prayer. And then after you do that, I will be able to declare to you that you are saved eternally. You are going to heaven, and it's not biblical at all. What it is we put our faith in Christ. We maintain our faith in Christ. It's not a formula you can just put on a tract and tell people to do. I mean, you can tell people to do it, but it's not as simple as a set of motions you go through. It is an actual life-changing experience, because faith in Christ, a life lived in faith towards Christ, is just an entirely different life. And it's not about do this and do that, but it's about what we're following after. We're becoming like him. And his power is on us to that effect. And you're living for that and seeking that and truly believing in Christ. If you believe in Christ, he says, follow me. If you're not following him, then you're joshing him. You're kidding. You're just going through motions. You're not. If you didn't follow him, he doesn't believe in you. He doesn't believe in your faith. Follow him. Doesn't mean, Peter followed him, and Peter messed up a bunch. It's not saying you have to be perfect right out the gate or something like that. Just saying, but he was there. He was at his feet. He was listening. It's very simple, yet somehow, when man steps in, it becomes complex. Because they want to build bigger buildings, bigger churches, and so they want to make it, they want to assure people, even people who don't belong. That's a natural outcropping of having a sort of a public religion, where we open ourselves up to all kinds. And therefore, it's not unexpected. There's many warnings in the Gospels, but we just move through with it. But the thing is, we have to warn people. That's just the way it is.